It's good to see each one out this stormy night. We're going to look at a verse in Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. It sounds like a question, but it had evidently the translators didn't think it was that way. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, that's not in the form of a question, but if it was a question, there is just no escape. There's no escape if you neglect God's great salvation. You don't have to reject it, you just have to neglect it. Do nothing about it at all. Just do nothing. And that's all. Reject it? No. But neglect it? Yes. But I want to look at it a little differently tonight, look at that verse, and I want to reverse it a little bit and show you some things. It sounds like a question, but evidently the translators didn't think it was that way. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Now, that's not in the form of a question, but if it was a question, there is just no escape. There's no escape if you neglect God's great salvation. You don't have to reject it, you just have to neglect it. Do nothing about it at all. Just do nothing. And that's all. Reject it? No. But neglect it? Yes. But I want to look at it a little differently tonight, look at that verse, and I want to reverse it a little bit and show you some things you will escape if you accept this great salvation. Because that's what salvation is. It's an escape or a deliverance from things. We're going to look at some verses, and it's got the word escape in it. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you become a Christian, most people think if you become a Christian, you're sort of in a snare, and you have a hard job to get out of it. But it's the opposite way. When you're not a Christian, you're in a snare. You're trapped. And we have sin abounding everywhere today, and people are bound by that sin. But if you accept God's great salvation, there's a deliverance, there's an escape from the temptations of this life. And the world is full of those temptations. And you got that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. Speaking to Christians, those who have accepted this great salvation, and this is one thing they escape. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, that's an escape from the temptations of this life. There's sin abounding everywhere. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. It's in the wicked one, in sin. Satan is the god of this world, and he's working on the hearts and the minds of people, and he's throwing all kinds of temptations out there. There's drugs, there's sex, there's alcohol, there's all sorts of temptations out there, there's sin. But if you neglect this great salvation, you're not going to escape that temptation. It's going to take you away. But if you accept this salvation, God says, for those that are saved, there's no temptation. It's common to man, and you're going to be tempted. But God says, I'm going to make a way of escape for those that are saved. So accepting this salvation gives you a way of escape from the temptations of this life. People are bound by sin. They're slaves to sin. They're not free. They're caught like in a trap or in a snare, and they're not free. And to accept this great salvation is going to set you free from the temptations of this life. I've met quite a few people that had problems with alcohol and drugs and immorality and all sorts of sins. They couldn't get clear of them because they were caught in a trap. But those that accepted this great salvation got a deliverance from those, and they become free from those. They become loose from those. That's what salvation is. It's escaping the temptations of this life. That's what the Lord Jesus died for. Not just to save us from hell. That's true, too. But to save us from the temptations of this life. And the world is full of them. There are two sorts of temptations. In the little book of James, we can read about them in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, we can read in verse number 2, that my little children, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's testing, trials, afflictions, because that works patience, and patience works does a perfect work in it. But then over a little bit, there's another one back in verse number 14. That's a different temptation. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the temptation to do evil, to do something wrong. And that's the type of thing that a Christian can escape, that the world can't escape. They're bound by that. The Bible says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour and consume. He came into the Garden of Eden a thief, and he captured Adam and Eve and tempted them, and they fell into that temptation, and they sinned, and the whole world is plunged into Satan, and the whole human race is plunged into Adam's race, and they're bound by sin. Until they accept this great salvation, and it liberates them, it frees them, it sets them free. Jesus put it this way: he that committeth sin is a servant or a slave of sin. In John 8 and verse 34. He that committeth sin is a slave to that sin. And people are slaves to sin. A lot of people want to be saved and say, I couldn't be saved because I got too many sins. But they don't realize that if they accept Christ as their Savior, you can escape from those sins. You can be free from those sins. He can save you from those sins. That's what this great salvation can do. Not only keep you out of hell, but it will save you from the temptations of this life. And the world is full of it. In 2 Peter, there's a verse that says this. In 2 Peter, in verse 9, 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The godly are people of God. People that have accepted God's great salvation. He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. And to reserve the unjust, the unsaved, until the day of judgment to be punished. So God is able and to do that. And that's what salvation is all about. It's an escape from the temptations of this life. And that's what is disturbing people everywhere. They just can't seem to escape from those. Now, looking at some of the sins in Romans chapter 13, you'll see a little list of sins. It's all around us today. Most people, we live in such a day that most people don't know what sin is because everything seems to be acceptable. But in Romans chapter number 13, in verse number 12, it says this. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, not in let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, that's living it up, partying, and drunkenness, that's drunkenness, and not in chambering, that's sexual sins, a bed. Wantonness is shameless conduct, and you got that everywhere. And envy and strife, there are different types of sins here. There's social sins, rioting and drunkenness. And there's sexual sins, chambering and wantonness. And there's spiritual sins, strife and envy. Well, the Lord can deliver His people from those sins. But it's only those that accept this great salvation that's going to be able to escape the temptations of this life. So that's escape number one. Now let's look at another verse in Luke chapter 21. And we're going to see another thing that Christians can escape. Luke chapter 21. In this particular chapter, the Lord is talking about His coming back again, especially to Israel. And He says in verse number 34 of Luke chapter 21, He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of God." Now the Lord is coming back again. There's a great tribulation coming on this earth. The world hasn't seen anything yet. There's troubles all over the world. Africa and the third world countries, many of them are going to bed nights hungry for lack of food. There's AIDS in Africa that's threatening to wipe out an entire generation. There's fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan and all those countries. There's troubles all over the world, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking to the Jewish people about a time of tribulation is coming. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 21, He puts it this way. "Then shall be great tribulation such as was not from the beginning of the world, and there'll never be after." In the book of Revelation, you can read about those tribulations, a series of judgments that's coming on this earth for a period of about 7 years, when there's going to be terrible, terrible judgments that fall on this earth. John the Baptist, when he started preaching, he told the people to flee from the wrath to come. He could see a time when God was going to come down in judgment on this earth, a terrible time of trouble that was coming on this earth, and he could foresee that, and he warned people to flee from the wrath to come. Now there is a tribulation coming on the earth, a terrible time coming on the earth. There are four sins that characterize those days as coming, and they're mentioned in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 21. And they are said to be murders. And we have murders everywhere today. Everywhere you can't pick up the paper without seeing a murder. You can't turn on the news without seeing a murder somewhere. Murders, thefts, stealing and cheating, and fornication, that's sex outside of wedlock. And pharmacy, or sorcery, which is where we get our word pharmacy from, drugs. And that's all around us everywhere. Those are the sins that will characterize that time of trouble that's coming on the earth. It's going to be a terrible time. It starts out in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation, and a little sealed book, and the Lord opens that little sealed book and breaks the seals, 7 seals, and there's judgments coming on the earth. There's war, and there's death, and there's famine. And there's all sorts of plagues that are coming on the earth during that time. Because this is the day when God is dealing with people in salvation. He says, I've got a great salvation for you. But if you neglect that salvation and don't take it, you're going to end up under the temptations of this life, and you're going to continue to be bound by sin, and you're going to eventually go in, if you live, you're going to eventually go into a terrible time on this earth. So bad, in Revelation chapter 6, we're told that in the breaking of one seal, that man would actually pray to the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. For the great day of his wrath is coming. Thank God that day hasn't come yet, but it's right around the corner. It will come, and it will come very shortly. It's on the way, as it were. Now, if you are saved and accept God's great salvation, you're not going to be here during that time, because the Lord is coming back to take his people off of this earth. It's called the rapture. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 that the Lord himself, who is in heaven, shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. The Christians have died, only the Christians, nobody else, are going to rise, and the living believer are going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Then, that terrible time of trouble is coming on the earth. That 7 years of terrible trouble is coming on the earth, that you'll read about in Revelation, especially from chapter 5 on, pretty well to the end of the book. That's coming. But the Lord said that he would save his people from that. The Christian will escape that time of tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, those Christians were waiting for God's Son to come back from heaven. Says, which has delivered us from that wrath to come. So, the Christians aren't going to be here. God isn't going to pour out his wrath on Christians. He's going to pour out his wrath on the unbelievers. Those who accept God's great salvation, they're not only going to escape the temptations of this life, but they're going to escape that terrible, that tribulation period to come. We're not going to be here. It's a terrible day that's coming. Jeremiah chapter 30 speaks of it as a time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble, that they will be saved out of it at that time. So to accept this great salvation, you're going to escape the temptations of this life. They'll be there, and God will make a way of escape. To accept this great salvation, you're going to escape the tribulation to come. You won't be there. You'll be caught up to meet the Lord before that time comes. Then, let's look at another one in Romans chapter 2. And at the end of that tribulation period, at the end of that period of time, called the day of the Lord, there's going to be a terrible day of judgment. We read about that in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? See, there's a terrible judgment coming on the earth called the tribulation, a great tribulation. But following that, there's going to be a terrible judgment scene. In Revelation chapter 20, where there's a great white throne set up, and all the wicked dead are going to be there, rise and be there. They're all going to be there, and the books are going to be open, and every man's going to be judged according to what he's done. And every sin you've ever committed, God is going to bring that judgment against you, and you're going to have to suffer that judgment. There'll be no escaping that judgment. It's impossible to escape the judgment of God. The only way you can escape that judgment is to accept this great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect? How shall we escape what? The temptations of this life. We won't be able to escape those temptations. How shall we escape that tribulation period to come? If we neglect this salvation, we can't. We'll fall into that. And everybody that does not accept this great salvation, they are not going to escape the judgment by God. God is going to bring everyone into judgment, not the saved. My sins were judged at the cross, and that the sins of mankind are going to be judged at the great white throne judgment, and sinners are going to be hear those fateful words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." The Christians, there's no condemnation, no future judgment for our sins. They were all dealt with at the cross. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he was judged for the sins of mankind, and all those that accept that Savior and that salvation, they have a deliverance. They have an escape from the awful judgment of God that's coming in the future. Not only the judgment of God, but the temptations of this life and the tribulation to come, and following that, the terrible judgment of God that at that great white throne. Now, Matthew chapter 23 gives us another thing that we're going to escape. Matthew chapter 23, we can read there that word escape again. Matthew 23 and verse number 53, the Lord is talking to some religious Jews, and he says, "Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" The damnation of hell, or the torments of hell. How can you escape the torments of hell? See, if you accept the great salvation that God has offered now, everybody accepts that great salvation, they're going to escape from the temptations and snares of this life, because the Lord is able to deliver them. And they're also going to escape the tribulation period that's coming on the earth, because we're going to be caught away in the rapture. And they'll also escape the terrible judgment by God, because there is no condemnation or judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. So they escape the great white throne judgment. But how can you escape those things if you neglect God's salvation? You can't. It's impossible to. You're going to fall into them. Then finally, at the end of that judgment scene in Revelation, it says, "Whosoever's name was not found in the book of was cast into the lake of fire, the torments of hell." Jesus said, "How can you escape the damnation of hell?" The rich man died, went down into a place called hell, lifted up his eyes, seeing his torments. Revelation 14 and 10 describes the scene there of the wrath of God being poured out upon people, and they're tormented day and night forever. They're suffering the torments of hell. The devil will be there, Revelation 20, verse 11. He'll be cast into that lake of fire. It was prepared for him and his angels, but it was not prepared for me or for you. There is an escape from that. And the only escape there is from the torments of hell and the great white throne judgment and the tribulation to come and the temptations of this day, the only escape is to accept this great salvation. And the Lord is able to deliver you from all those things that the rest of the world will never escape from. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He liberates. He's a deliverer, a liberator. And he can liberate all and any that will put their trust in him.